it will be in the double millions of people, which are ratings that CNN, MSNBC, they could only dream about.
They've lost a massive amount of their audience because people don't want to watch that crap anymore. Happy, happy Thursday. You know what we owe everybody is skipping. We owe everybody skipping. On Facebook insiders and also our locals. We owe people skipping today. Mm-hmm. We got to do that.
I did say I would skip, but I will say that I did post, I posted about Miss Maisie.
And locals and insiders.
So I felt like I was giving folks something that was exclusive.
Okay, so if you haven't joined locals, you got to definitely do that today. And our Facebook insiders, but locals, because locals we're not going to get kicked off of eventually. That's a really good one. But yeah, you should definitely check that out. How's Maisie doing?
You guys, she's so pitiful. So let me show you the size of the cone that she's having to wear.
Oh, wow. That's extreme.
Well, and it's because it's her eye, right? So her eye is what had surgery and it's all goopy and disgusting and red and awful because she had to have like this giant growth taken off of it and they had to put stitches in her eyelid. And so they have to leave the stitches in for 2 weeks and then she has to wear the cone for that whole 2 weeks so she can't rip on the stitches, right? And so it's just a huge ass cone and she cannot figure out how to navigate her way through the world.
She's bumping into everything. Everything and everybody, and it's like if there's just
and she's hear, so confused.
Yeah, she doesn't know, and you can't tell if she's upset about it because she has no emotion on her face.
You don't know
if she's sad. You don't know if she's actually laughing about the cone. She could be laughing. She could be like bing bong all around with the cone. You don't know if she's like laughing about it because
she's not.
Again, she has zero emotion in her face.
I feel like she has a lot of expression right now. Yes.
I'm not making fun of me. God bless her poor baby. She is such a sweetie. I love her. You know I love her.
The worst part is like eating, you know, she has to figure out like how to get
I don't remember how.
I have to hold the bowl like because otherwise it moves around in the cone like while she's bent over. It kind of moves around. So I kind of hold it in place and then like I put her head over the bowl so she can like eat. I got to water down all of her food because she also had a tooth extraction. So she can't have any really crunchy food. I mean, she's a mess, you guys.
They
and it's so
crap out of her. They should have put a donut. They should have put a donut on her, you know?
Like they can't because it needs to be this big because otherwise she would get her paw would reach her eye. Yeah, and this is like exactly a way to prevent it. And so she couldn't jump into the bed because it kept hitting like the bottom of the cone would hit the edge of the bed.
You gotta
she
pick
doesn't
her
know
up.
How to clear it.
You gotta
she
pick
hates
her up.
Being picked up. So like
really?
It's a huge problem. Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's just I feel so sorry for her. So I think for locals and insiders today, I'll probably do a little video of her if she lets me and if she's okay and
she's gonna be like, no paparazzi. I've got a cone on. I can't be photographed right now. Oh my God, Mom.
My
so embarrassing.
Sweet.
Darren saying,
girl.
Build a ramp. You should build a ramp. I mean, your husband should obviously build her a ramp. Hello. Why is he not doing this? Come on, Ron.
Right now, she's sitting next to me in her little crate because that's her safe space is her crate. And even getting into that, right? Like I have to help her. I have to like kind of smash down the sides of the cone and get her in there. And then she bangs it against the back. And it's just so pitiful. It's just... Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, in the Clark house, we've got Coda taking running starts to destroy shit in my house. This is what I've got. I don't even know how much he weighs right now. He's probably the size of Maisie and he's 12 weeks old. This is what's happening in my house. Seriously, he's like, I'm going to take a running start and see if I can like kamikaze off of whatever it is I'm on to like destroy the thing that I'm going to. This is my life. Yeah. And then you have to brace yourself because if he's running too, you're like, he may kill me. Yeah. Because this is Coda.
Well, he may kill himself if he's chewing up electrical cords.
He does.
In the world.
I know. I was trying to print something this morning to do pre-show, you guys. And I'm like, my printer's not working. I don't understand why. And it's like, and I was like, gosh darn it. I'm trying to print and print. I tried like four times, you know, and I'm like, I don't understand why my printer's not working. And my husband comes in. And he's like, honey, it's unplugged. And it's because the puppy has like eaten the cord. Oh my God. Welcome to my life, everybody. So here we go.
The things that we do for our doggos, right? Am I right?
Yeah.
And by the way, I don't even want to tell you what I spent on this girl. Oh my God.
Yeah, you guys.
I think by now, crazy. I think it's up. I think we're around $2,500 right
now. I believe it. I believe it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe it. This is crazy.
Anyway, thank you for indulging me about my poor, sweet, precious Maisie before we get to actual news, like the fact that Tina Turner is no longer on this earth.
I love Tina Turner. I know that, you know, listen, you guys may or may not have loved her, but I mean, I remember her from the 80s and that's when she had her huge comeback. Remember?
I thought you were going to say huge hair, but both. Yes.
She had both the huge Mad Max hair and the comeback at that time. Mm-hmm. Do you remember? And that was when, you know, she had endured like 16 years of beatings from Ike. Remember?
Yeah.
And this was, I mean, she left him. She had like less than a dollar in her pocket. And she had gone to that. Remember, she ran to that hotel. This is, if you know the story, she finally found the courage to leave. And she had like a mobile gas card. And like less than a dollar in her pocket. And she leaves, finally finds the courage. And the only thing she wanted was her name. That's it. And he fought her for that. And she finally got that. And then like the comeback, she's like a phoenix. She was like a phoenix. And she got out and she came back, took her a couple years to do the comeback thing. But man, she was awesome. I just really loved her. And her legs. Oh, how much did you want her legs?
Who didn't want those legs?
Right.
I mean, fantastic. Extraordinary. Mm-hmm. So she died at the age of 83. She apparently had kidney issues and I think she battled cancer at one point. So she lasted a good long while. She was very, very happily married to her second husband for 38 years.
That's fantastic.
So anyway, just a loss, a total loss. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason for my name today is in honor
Proud
of
Mocky.
Eric.
Proud Mocky, you guys. Simply the best. That's right. She was simply the best.
The best, indeed. Mm-hmm. That is exactly right. I wanted to show you because I wanted to mention before we get to news two that if you haven't been boned yet this morning, I'm getting boned right now.
This is getting number two. I'm going to get boned like four times this morning.
Yeah. I want to remind everybody how awesome of a company BoneFrogCoffee.com is. They were one of the sponsors of our meet and greet in Phoenix that we had a few weeks back. And they made us, we haven't shown you these, you guys.
That's right. We haven't.
They made us these shirts. Can you see that? Am I showing you?
Have you been boned this morning? Yep. Uh-huh. Aren't those great? They should sell those.
I mean, they really should.
They made them just for us. And we were like, wait, are they selling? They should totally sell them in their store. Cause you know, we kind of came up with that little tagline. It's ours. Like we're the ones who are like, hey, you getting boned, you guys?
Get boned. And then we had like, initially we had people writing us going, that's so inappropriate.
So inappropriate.
And that dishonors them. You guys and so like I got paranoid and I wrote to Tim Cruikshank, the founder. And I was like, is this okay? Like, are you okay with this
we're
thing?
We're sexualizing your coffee. Is that okay?
and he was like, we're seals.
Yeah.
That was his response. Like, he was like, I think we can take
we're probably okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is, again, just like, it goes to show you like how awesome of a company they are, right? Uh-huh. They're freaking Navy SEALs. And we're asking, are you offended by like us saying that you do both?
We're kind of hypersexualizing your coffee a little bit. Are you guys okay? My God. We're Navy freaking SEALs.
This is why I love them so much. And don't forget, you guys, they have sample packs. So if you're not sure what flavor would be your most favorite, you can just order a sample pack and test them all out. They offer grounds, they offer whole bean, they offer the K-cups. So they have all the different kinds of formats of coffee that you could ever want. And it's delicious coffee. So not only is a portion of the proceeds going to help Navy SEALs and other military causes, you can feel really good about that. But you're also going to have delicious coffee every single morning. That's going to make you feel amazing. And the service is like no other. And those of you who have ordered, you know what I'm talking about. If you go to bonefrogcoffee.com, you can save 10% on a subscription order when you use code CHICKS at checkout. Please support them. That supports us. And we so appreciate it. And I know that they do too. And so do all the rest of the SEALs. Bonefrogcoffee.com. Okay, so we talked, was it yesterday that we talked about the NAACP and their like ridiculous warning, their travel warning for Florida?
And, oh my God. And how CP is ridiculous and what it stands for. And how I can't say it out loud because I'm a person of pallor. Yes.
Yeah, you're a person of pallor. They should just, I mean, if they could just change it to NAAPOC.
That's right. They should.
They haven't. Mm-hmm. That's on them.
It's weird.
Well, Rick Scott of Florida has issued his own press release, and I thought I would share it. I know it's going to be too hard to read, but essentially you can see over here that he's got the big alert siren emojis, and it says new Florida travel advisory.
I love this.
He has issued his own travel advisory for socialists visiting Florida. I just love this
response.
The perfect troll. So you can read it if you go to Rick Scott's Twitter account, Scott for Florida. It's perfect. It's an absolutely perfect response. And I just love that he did that.
It's not safe for socialists. It's not safe for commies, you guys. Commies are not safe in Florida.
Let's see. Also, a couple notes. I wanted to make sure that I mentioned that there's a rumor going around that Gavin Newsom is considering, because, you know, he'll get to appoint Dianne Feinstein's replacement.
Right.
If she finally decides to do the right thing and retire. But once she does that and it's up to him to appoint, there's rumors floating that he wants to appoint Oprah.
Oh, my God. I cannot. It's such a, what a clown show on their side.
This is where we are.
Can you even? It's like Oprah. You got Oprah, you got Fetterman. It's just an utter clown show on their side.
Okay. I just saw that and I was
It's like next up, they have to have a Kardashian thrown in there.
Might as well.
Just to kind of, yeah, you should. I mean,
he's working on a law degree, so.
That's true. I'm a liar.
I'm a liar now.
I'm a lawyer, you guys. I'm a lawyer. I can't.
Oh my God. Speaking of like that, for some reason that just reminded me of Idiotic Celebrities. You know, the whole Claudia Conway thing that we talked about yesterday
and how yes.
I wrote back to her on her big thing about how my body was taken from me. And so mm-hmm. now I'm going to be a Playboy bunny and own my body. And I was like,
Nobody took
your body.
I'm taking it back.
Like nobody took it. You actually just hurled it at us on social media. You were endlessly.
Throwing your boobs in our faces. Nobody, stop it.
But so many of her weird ass fans came after me on Twitter.
Of course they did.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. I was like, thank you for showing yourself so I know exactly who to block. Thank you. Mm-hmm. But anyway, back to Newsom. It's so ridiculous because meanwhile, San Francisco has literally lost half of their downtown businesses, half at this point, because it's in such bad shape.
Yeah.
So he's going to be all like, I'm going to get Oprah and I'm going to criticize DeSantis. Mind your business, Newsom. Yeah. You got some problems there.
It's a crap hole. I was just there this past summer. This past spring, I was there to see our kids and I did not feel safe there at all. I was like, get me out of this place. I just went to Alcatraz. And we just walked downtown a little bit. I was like, get me out of here.
Imagine feeling safer at Alcatraz.
I know. I felt safer in the actual prison than I did walking around the streets of San Francisco. That place is a crap hole, you guys. And he has the audacity to point fingers at Ron DeSantis.
That's just so dumb.
Who likes this guy? Who actually thinks this guy has done a great job? What is wrong with people?
All the idiot suburban white women that have like guilt over their white privilege, they think he's hot.
And they have walls around their mansions.
Right. And then the signs are in front of the walls that say, we don't have hate here.
Right.
Or whatever those signs say.
Yeah. The signs about, you know, BLM and stuff like that. We believe in this and we believe in that. Yeah. Okay. You believe in an organization that just went bankrupt because they basically bankrolled themselves. You moron.
Yeah. God. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so those are the stories that I wanted to make sure that we got to before we get to the main story, which is, of course, that Ron DeSantis is in the race. So we've been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, waiting. It's never been official until now. It's super duper official. He made it official in a Twitter space last night that at first was a complete disaster because it didn't work for about 15, 20 minutes or so. So I don't know if you guys have ever participated in a Twitter space, but essentially you just click a button and then you're listening. And it's as simple as that. And so I clicked the button like right at six when on Elon Musk's page and it said, you know, preparing to launch is what it said. And so I'm just waiting for them to get started. And I saw as people came in, hundreds of thousands of people. At one point when I was waiting, there were around 700 and something thousand people waiting, but I kept getting kicked out, right? And so it kept crashing and crashing and crashing. So finally, at about 20 minutes in, Elon switched host controls over to David Sachs, I think his name is. He was with him. And so they hosted from David Sachs' account. And it turns out that the problem was some kind of issue with the fact that Elon's personal account has 140 million followers and hundreds of thousands of people who also wanted to get in on the space. And that caused like an overload. When they moved everything to David Sachs's account, it worked flawlessly. So like from about 6:20 until they wrapped up close to 7:30, I think, it was completely fine. So we've got a lot of reaction. We've got a little clip from that Twitter space in case you missed it. And then we have a lot of reaction pre and post the space. So we're going to kick it off with the ladies of the View, and particularly Whoopi, bitching about how Ron DeSantis chose that platform to deliver his announcement. Here, we'll start it with that.
Question him. She did try to fact check him. On Twitter, there's no fact checking. You say whatever you want.
Well, all he's doing is announcing. It's kind of like, I'm running for president.
Then why do it? Then
he's
why
taking
do
questions,
it?
Though, which will be interesting in a Twitter space, so audience members can ask questions. Again, a risk that I would not sign up for.
But you don't know if they're bots and everybody has triple handles on Twitter.
I know. I'm sure you that don't it's even know who you're talking in some to. Way. But Elon Musk is trying to compete with Fox News. That's why he's having giving Tucker Carlson a platform. We all know this in you know traditional media. Everything's going towards streaming. He wants to turn Twitter into the new right-wing media empire.
He's got to work on his camera shots. That was awful. It was like a side shot.
No, he just has to work on, you know, be articulate so we know what you're talking about. He was I don't understand. I didn't know what he was saying. And look, you know what? This idea of announcing on Twitter... I'm old and I'm okay being old. Do that on television, okay?
Well,
I want to see you do it on television. I want to see you actually take real Americans' questions. That's what I want. I don't want to dislike you. I can't help it because you give
this whole audience.
You don't give me any reason because I don't understand. Why do you dislike people of color? What's wrong with American history?
Yeah.
What's wrong with gay folks? You know, Anita Bryant did this stuff in 1975, and gay folks rose up and fought for what they needed. That's what's coming, man. That's what's coming. Oh, no. It's coming. You know, and that's not a threat.
Well, the women
they
are coming,
pay,
too.
They pay, yes, they pay the same taxes I pay. They want the same... things that we're entitled to as taxpayers. You can't pick and choose, and you're not asking your constituents, you're telling them what you're doing. And that is not the American way. Everybody's supposed to be deciding what they want for their state, sir, not just you. We'll be right back.
So there's a whole lot wrapped up in there, right?
I mean, there's a lot.
She's got like a whole lot. There's just a lot. She's just going on a rant there, and she's freaking out. And the first thing that she's freaking out about is the forum. Like I'm old and he should have done this on television. Why? Because that's where you are, Whoopi.
Yeah. Because
you're on television. I mean, because people are going to streaming and people are on social media. And she's acting as if only real people are only on television. Bullshit. That's not where they are. Real people are actually on streaming. Real people are on podcasts. Real people are on, this is where they are on social media. That's where the real people are. What do you think the people listening to us are? Are these not real people watching us right
now? These are all robots, apparently.
These are all androids right now up this early in the morning watching us. These are real people.
Yep.
Danger, Will Robinson. Danger. I mean, this is like... She doesn't understand. It's like, she's obviously not out there. She's not just old. She's stupid. I mean, these are real people and they're looking for alternative news sources because they know that the MSM has failed them and that it's just, they're a propaganda. They're an arm of the Democrat Party and they're a propaganda machine. They're looking for alternatives. It's why Fox has lost what? 60% of their audience. They probably have that number wrong, but they've lost a massive amount of their audience because people don't want to watch that crap anymore. They
there's
don't watch
not
it.
there's not a single mainstream media outlet that wouldn't kill to have the numbers of viewers that not only viewers or listeners or whatever that DeSantis had on the spaces last night, but that he will cumulatively get from the recording of it.
Amen.
So by the time everybody who wants to listen to this or watch it or whatever does, it will be in the double millions of people, which are ratings that CNN, MSNBC, they could only dream about.
Uh-huh.
And
they're
so
terrified.
How do they knock it?
They're absolutely terrified. They're either so ignorant. She's either so incredibly ignorant or she's terrified.
It's both of those.
You think she's, I don't know which one it is, or it could be both, but the terrified part is like, she goes on the rant about gay people and, you know, black people and everybody else and how, and oh my God, it's like, he's coming for them. He's not.
He addressed so many of those ridiculous accusations in the space last night. I thought he did a great job. I mean, it was obviously cut short because it had started late. And then he also went on Trey Gowdy last night to do his official kickoff on TV as well. So like, it's not like he isn't going on TV. He's just not doing TV the way that Whoopi thinks is appropriate. Well, mm-hmm. Who gives a shit
and
what
the
she thinks?
And the fact checking part of it, it's like, he needs to be fact checked. So basically what she's saying is he needs to be filtered like Biden is. He needs to be telepromptered and filtered and watered down. So, you know, the powers that be can basically mold him and morph him into what we think he should be. So fake. He needs to be phony. No, because on a Twitter space, he's raw and he's unfiltered and he's as transparent as the American people. Anybody could have gotten out there. She could have gotten out there and asked him questions. Do you think she did that? Hell no, she didn't do that. I mean, she could have. Maybe she should have. Maybe the whole entire panel of The View, all those harpies could have or should have gotten out there and asked him questions. Why didn't they do that?
Yeah, they could have easily listened. I mean, she would have obviously needed to have someone helping her get there.
And a Valium and a total. My God, she's so unhinged about it. Good Lord.
Was it her or Sunny at the very beginning of that was like when they were talking about how there's no fact checking and they can just say whatever they want.
It's
as if that's
America.
A bad thing.
It's freaking America, you hags.
Of course.
He should be able to say that. My God, they've lost sight of that. That's the way it should be. That's the way it used to be. Good Lord.
You guys, I'm going to take this today because I know for a fact that we do not have fruits or vegetables in this house.
I know. So I've been doing the same thing.
Well, we're a little due for some grocery shopping. And so in lieu of that, I know I can count on Field of Greens, which is basically fruits and vegetables, freeze dried, smashed all up in a delicious green powder. You just pour a little scoopful of this into your water, mix it up, you drink it. It tastes like you're drinking a blueberry flavored beverage, at least this flavor. And they have other flavors too. And it's absolutely delicious. I would not take this if it didn't taste good. So I care about getting my fruits and veggies, but not if it's not going to taste good. And this stuff tastes amazing. It's from Field of Greens and you should try it because it gives you like optimum health benefits from the fruits and vegetables that you're probably not getting enough of. You can get 15% off of your first order of Field of Greens when you go to fogchicks.com and you use code chicks. You can get 15% off your first order. It is delicious. I promise you. And I'm very picky when it comes to the taste of things. Amy Jo can attest.
She is very picky. Like, she didn't even have a Big Mac until I forced her to have one.
I'm very, very picky, you guys.
She's so picky, you guys.
Let's get back to... Whoops. Let me just make sure I didn't mean for the sound to get on there. We're going to go back to videos about the Twitter space and reaction to it. So I just put one little soundbite from the actual Twitter space when DeSantis addressed the book banning hullabaloo. Like, everyone's like, oh my God, he's banning books all over the place. And he's like a book banning fiend. No, that's actually not happening. And I thought he did a nice job of explaining that people are like hyper-reacting, overreacting to this nonsense in the worst way. Here is a clip from that space.
So the whole book ban thing is a hoax. There's not been a single book banned in the state of Florida. You can go buy or use whatever book you want. What we have done is empowered parents with the ability to review the curriculum, to know what books are being used in school, and then to ensure that those books match state standards and are age and developmentally appropriate. So, for example, parents have flagged books in schools that, for example, teach middle school kids how to use sex apps, that provide graphic depictions of sex acts and sex toys for people as young as fifth grade. And so clearly that is not appropriate to be in a middle school classroom. And so parents object and the schools take them out. I did a press conference that we called Exposing the Book Ban Hoax. And before I had the parents come up, before I spoke, I just played the video that had the images of the books that the parents had objected being in their kids' classroom. And the local news had to cut the feed because they said it was too graphic. Well, if it's too graphic for the 6 o'clock news, how is it okay for a sixth grader or a fifth grader? And so nothing's being banned. They're basically ensuring that we make curation choices that are consistent with state standards. And on the...
you can't get
that requires explaining.
It's pretty clear. But this is the thing is like, you know, you get like one propaganda outlet that will run with the story and people are like, oh, yeah, he's banning books.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
the same thing with that poet. Remember the what's her name? Andrea something that read one of her poems at Biden's inauguration.
Uh-huh.
So there was this big rumor going around yesterday that DeSantis has banned that book like from the whole state of Florida or something.
Oh, my God.
No, it was taken out of an elementary school and placed in a middle school because it was more age appropriate to be in the middle school. So he addressed that last night, too. But these are the kinds of stories that people just run away with.
People will run with it. Yeah. And this is the thing. Once it's out of the toothpaste tube, you can't shove it back in. And people will just go with it. And even if it is a lie, it's not like they're going to, you know, any of these outlets are going to say, oh, you guys, we screwed up. We screwed up. And then even if they do say that, people aren't going to, they're not going to disseminate the truth.
Exactly. You know,
they're not going to push that out after they've already lied to a million people.
It's like the newspaper doing a retraction on page A13 that they had on the front page yesterday.
Totally. And people just don't care. They don't care about the truth. They care more about these lies and spreading the lies. It's so dumb.
It is so dumb. And there was just in our comment section before we went live, there was someone who was here. I don't know if they're here anymore, but they were like, George Soros has endorsed DeSantis. Again, this
Where?
Is that same.
Well, where exactly. is it? That's the thing. Where is the endorsement? I want to see it. I want to see.
What they'll do is they'll show that clip that we played weeks and weeks ago of George Soros saying basically that he hopes DeSantis wins the primary. Mm-hmm. And they'll be like, there it is. See, he's totally supporting him. He must be funding his whole campaign. No, if you listen to the entire context, George Soros wants DeSantis to beat Trump in a primary because he thinks Trump will then run as an independent, ensuring Biden's victory. That if that's what you call support, okay. And then besides that, I mean, even in here right now, it's people are like, oh no, Liz Cheney has endorsed DeSantis, so therefore DeSantis is somehow the bad guy in that because someone you don't like supports him, then DeSantis, there's something wrong with DeSantis. What the hell? I will never understand people who like hold these endorsements in such high regard. It makes no sense to me. I will never understand that.
You could say the same thing. There are a lot of really bad people that endorse Trump.
Yeah, exactly. And do you hold that against Trump?
No, I'd never even thought about that when I was voting for Trump. So I, there are a lot of awful, terrible, really horrible people that will endorse him. And I'm like, I'm just going to pretend that didn't happen.
Yeah, I don't care what other people think.
Yeah.
I care about results and policies. Yeah. That is what I care about, or actions. So anyway, there was huge reaction, as you might expect, to the Twitter space, including we've got Alyssa, whatever her name is, from The View, and Van Jones calling it just a complete disaster. Here they are.
Alyssa, you had said this morning on CNN that it would either be brilliant or disastrous. Obviously, Seems like more of the latter. Listen, when you're doing these campaign launches, months of planning goes in. Comms teams, advance teams, they pinpoint every single detail to make you look presidential. And frankly, the first thing you should do is do no harm. The tech side, harm was done. But also looking presidential, it was a very odd platform to have him with two other people kind of talking amongst each other.
Well, also, there's no looking. Because
there's no looking. Yeah, you're only hearing. So it came off almost like he was a talk radio host, not a future leader of the free world. I think it was a total miscalculation by his team. Listen, his remarks off the top were perfectly decent. He could have given them in an arena with a crowd, and I think that would have been much stronger than this, what was frankly a debacle.
Van, I mean, President Biden trolled Governor DeSantis during the tech glitches. He tweeted, "This link works." Former President Trump is also reveling, obviously, in this. What did you think of it? Also, I mean, it was a lot about Twitter and about Elon Musk, less so much even Ron DeSantis.
Absolutely. It's a very weird way to start your campaign. It's kind of already bowing down to technology, wealth, power. This is not a populist campaign. He's sitting there, by the way, you know, Twitter, trying to get involved in social audio, chasing Clubhouse, failing. Even, you know, it's not just D.C. is laughing. Silicon Valley's laughing as well. So, you know, you put yourself in the middle of a big fist fight in Silicon Valley over who's going to be the king of social audio while you're trying to run for president and nobody can hear you talking. It was a disaster.
It's so funny. They talk about bowing down to technology. They're poo-pooing that. And this is the same group of people who are like, oh, my God, let's use TikTok influencers to run our campaign.
Yeah.
Screw you. Like, I mean, Biden doesn't even know how to, he doesn't even know how to use a phone. You know, you can't. I bet you he probably could not even use an iPhone. And then his campaign is like using the Dylan Mulvaney's of the world to run his campaign.
Right.
And then they're poo-pooing technology. Come on, give me a break.
Well, self-awareness has never been one of their fortes.
Give me a total break with that. They're so afraid of this. They're so afraid of all of it. I'm not saying, I don't know if it was a disaster or if it wasn't, because time will tell. That's the only thing. I don't know. I don't even want to like give a, I can't give a thumbs up or a thumbs down on it because it is what it is. I mean, it like crap happens with technology when you're doing these Twitter spaces or whatever, you're going to have glitches, whatever. I mean, I think people got what they got out of it. And the only thing that we are going to be able to see is over the next couple months, we're going to see who's going to be on top and who's not when it comes to this presidential race. I mean, whatever, but you cannot deny that he did something different. Mm-hmm. And he used technology and he wanted to do what, I don't know, Democrats have been doing for years, which is use the latest technology to heighten his campaign. And you got to give him some props.
What's everybody talking about right now? This.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, and he was answering questions in a transparent way. I give him props for that. I think that that's cool. And he was using a cool technology to do it. Good for him.
I can't see
we've been we've been bitching and moaning for years about how Republicans don't do that. So I can't knock him for doing that.
No, I think it was a really brilliant move because people now are talking about it incessantly because it's never been done before. So you can bitch about the 20-minute delay and be like, oh my God, make fun of him over the technical faults or whatever. But in the end, it went off just as exactly as it was supposed to. And more people will have seen that announcement than any TV station can ever think about getting bragging rights to. So I think in that way, it was a huge success. The guy that ended up hosting the space with Elon was on with Laura Ingraham last night to talk about it. And here is their take.
A big entrepreneur. David, great to see you tonight. Thanks for joining us. Now, we're going to get to Governor DeSantis's vision, especially like ripping apart the bureaucracy in a moment. But the question on everyone's mind, including my daughters tonight, is what happened? I mean, you handled it so well, much better than I would have. But what happened at the top?
Well, what happened at the top, Laura, is just we had a million people simultaneously trying to get into a Twitter space, which is an online room. And I mean, DeSantis just melted the servers. We had so much interest. I mean, I got to hand it to him. Normally it takes a Kardashian to do that. So we just had so much interest. It took about 15 minutes. We've never had that level of scale before on Twitter. I think the biggest room's been around 100,000. And so after about 15 minutes, we just moved the room to my account from Elon's account, and then it really worked perfectly. I think if your viewers want to go on Twitter, the recording is going viral right now. They're going to wonder what all the fuss is about, because once we got started, the audio was perfect, and I think the governor was totally unflappable. And I think one thing I learned about him from this is that once we did get started and we were, about 15, 20 minutes late, there was no hint of anger or irritation on his part. He was in a great mood. Like I said, cool and unflappable. Really, I think made a great impression as someone who doesn't get thrown off his game very easily.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there was that.
And then there's that analysis. And these guys fought. I mean, Chip Roy is definitely in the DeSantis camp, and Byron is not. It's just funny to watch these two spar.
Well, this one, I don't have that part of this. I have Chip Roy talking about the platform and DeSantis's choice to use the Twitter space. Here it is.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's a great problem to have almost a million people crashing the internet. I'd rather have that problem than having no one show up at an event in Iowa and then blame it on the weather. Look, the truth is Governor DeSantis has an extraordinary track record. He won by 1.5 million votes in Florida, 62% of Hispanic voters. He won about 50% of single female voters. Let's see how President Trump thinks he can attract single female voters across the country. The fact is Governor DeSantis has been attracting people to Florida with net in migration, with strong support of the police and making sure we stand up to have safe streets, and actually teaming up to help Texas deal with the border crisis that Biden has thrust upon the United States. Governor DeSantis has proven that he's got a track record that works, and the American people are following. And you saw that with the enthusiasm tonight that temporarily broke Twitter, but now they're having a great conversation.
And then Byron came back and they sparred over that.
Yeah, it was still friendly because they really like each other.
it was friendly because they do like each other. But it just what it showed me was that it's going to be really interesting over the next few months to watch this country. And I say this country to watch our party. It's going to get ugly.
It's going to get really, really ugly.
And it just shows me even more that we just cannot rally. I'm not real positive about 2024 because our party just can't freaking rally.
So. Well, and what was, that it's funny that you say that because I was on our locals page yesterday and I saw a post from one of our supporters there is so sick and tired of the meanness from Trump that he refuses to vote for him in a general. He was like, if, because he's a DeSantis guy, and he was like, if Trump attacks DeSantis continuously like this, I will never vote for him in a general. I will vote for Biden. And I was like, oh my God.
Oh my God. What is wrong with him?
Like, that's the most self-destructive thing ever. That's a horrible way to look at it. I mean, of course, we would have to rally around Trump because we have to beat Biden. That is the number one goal here.
Like, and why? So, like, do you have kids and grandkids? What's wrong with you?
Yeah, I feel the same about anybody who is like so pro Trump that they won't vote for someone else who might be the nominee. It's got to be whoever the nominee is, whoever has the best chance of beating Biden. That's who we have to rally around. Period.
Anybody on our side, anybody but Biden.
Yeah.
Anybody on our side, because they're all great. They're all great compared to him. All of them.
That's the thing.
I just get worried because there's just a lot of, and I'll say it, there's a lot of idolaters on our side.
And, oh my God, it's awful.
And
it's
we need to stop doing that. It just needs to be, you know what? It's not even a party thing. It's a conservative thing. We just need to vote conservative over Biden, period. Because our country's in the shitter, y'all.
Yeah.
Bottom line.
Because you're never going to catch me not voting for Trump if he's the nominee. Like, of course I will. I mean, I can't even believe that that's a question mark for some people. It blows me away. That said, Trump is clearly worried about DeSantis. There's no question about it. I mean, the way that he has reacted to the campaign announcements of all of the other candidates is like nothing. Like, he's barely responding to them at all. But man, as soon as this Twitter space, or actually during the Twitter space, Trump was already out with the attack ads. There was one quick thing that he did where he made fun of the fact that there was this technical difficulty. So you're going to see that first, then you're going to see the attack ad. And then lastly, you're going to see something that I was pretty disappointed, honestly, that he that he truthed or whatever. It's an AI generated parody of the Twitter space, which includes George Soros and Hitler and the devil, and then Trump coming in at the end. I was just so grossed out that he shared it. It was, oh my God, this is the kind of stuff that I'm just like, could you please stop trying to get people to dislike you? Please stop it. But anyway, so he clearly feels threatened by DeSantis. There's no question about it. This is quite a trio of attacks. Here it is.
Ron DeSantis was struggling big time in his primary race for governor of Florida. Polls revealed DeSantis was failing so bad, he was losing by a staggering 17 points. Then DeSantis was saved by the endorsement of President Trump. Trump's support was so powerful, just days after the endorsement, DeSantis took a commanding lead that propelled him to being elected governor.
I'd like to thank our president for standing by me when it wasn't necessarily the smart thing to do.
You're welcome, Ron. Unfortunately, instead of being grateful, DeSantis is now attacking the very man who saved his career. Isn't it time DeSantis remembers how he got to where he is?
Make America great again. Build the wall. Then Mr. Trump said, "You're fired." I love that part.
Truth is, there's only one person who can make America great again.
I'm Donald J. Trump, and I approve this message.
So that was the attack ad, which I thought was interesting because he said DeSantis has been attacking Trump, which is a complete lie. The only thing DeSantis has done is run for president. That is not an attack. That's not... what a ridiculous thing to say.
Yeah. And I didn't see it, but I heard that Nikki Haley has been coming out against Ron DeSantis too. Didn't she?
And Vivek.
Yeah. Vivek and Nikki Haley they're coming out like guns blazing against DeSantis.
They all see him as the biggest threat next to Trump.
The biggest threat, which is really interesting. That isn't that interesting? Like you think that they would see Trump as the guy to go after, and they're not going after Trump. Why is that? Because he's polling better.
So I mean, he's polling at the top.
So what the F is going on? Like, why are these people going after Ron and not Donald Trump? I don't get it. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, they are hands off. They're not even doing attack ads on Trump. He's the number one guy.
This handshake deal in the background, right?
That's like, what I'm Trump wondering.
Go after DeSantis, I'll reward you or whatever.
That's exactly what I thought, Mock. It's exactly precisely what I thought. I thought there's got to be some chatter in the back, because you know how politics is.
It's gross.
There's got to be something going on in the background where maybe there's some backdoor deals going on where it's like, if you don't attack me, I'll give you XYZ. I'll give you this cabinet position. I'll give you, you know, this position, that position. I promise you, I'll give you that.
And I'll lay off of you during the primaries.
I won't be mean. And because you know that if I don't promise you this, man, you're going to have it. I'm going to give it to you hard on that stage or in the campaign. And they don't want that because it'll get ugly because they're going to, oh my God, you just know it's happening. At least I think. I mean, because why else?
I don't know.
He's the number one guy.
Have no idea. So this is, as you can see, the pictures on this fake. And again, all the voices you're going to hear are AI generated. They're close, but you can tell that they're not the real people. But this is just, I don't know who made this, but it is just vile. So George Soros, Klaus, what's his name? Schwab or whatever his name is. Dick Cheney, Adolf Hitler, and the devil, the FBI. Actually, the FBI part is kind of funny, I will say. And then at the end, you'll hear Donald Trump, you know, the AI version of Donald Trump coming in to the end. And so here is this little thing that Trump shared on Truth Social.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to our Ron DeSantis Twitter space.
Hello? Is my microphone working correctly?
George, can you just wait while we...
Hello? Can you hear me?
We can all hear you, George. Can you just hold on for a second?
Hilfa, I don't think they can hear me.
I can hear you fine, George. Just speak to the
microphone. I don't think George knows how to use Twitter.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Can I please make my big announcement now? Everyone just...
Hello!
Just shut up, George.
Can somebody just mute George?
Dick, could you try not to cough on the...
Okay, so how are we going to take out Trump, you guys?
Guys from the FBI, this is not a private call. This is a public Twitter space. Everyone can listen in.
God damn it.
Anyway, guys, we invited everyone to this this Twitter space so Governor Ron DeSantis could...
Everyone just shut the hell up so I can make my announcement, okay?
You go, girl.
Wait, the devil is gay?
So what? Everyone in this call is gay.
I happen to know
every single one of you has a secret gay lover hidden in your closet.
Natürlich kann ich zulassen, dass die Soldaten die für sie verwenden.
Feiglinge!
Guys, can we please just calm down?
So anyway, guys, I just wanted to announce that I'm...
Okay, I can hear the governor very well.
Shut the hell up, would you please shut up already? I'm running for fucking president, okay?
Yeah. We kind of already knew about it.
We already know, Governor.
Congratulations, Governor.
Well, that concludes our Twitter space for today. Thank you to all of our...
Hold your horses, Elon. The real president is going to say a few words. The devil, I'm going to kick your ass very soon. Hitler, you're already dead. Dick Cheney, sounds like you'll be joining Hitler very soon. Klaus Schwab and George Soros, I'm putting both your asses in jail. And Ron DeSanctimonious can kiss my big, beautiful 2024 presidential ass. Trump 2024, baby. Let's go.
So Trump backed this?
Yeah, he's the one that truthed it out and then it went viral. I don't know who made it, but he put it on
he
his...
He backed it, yeah. It's yeah. Gross, man. Like the devil and... Hitler?
You this lost, is where we are. This is lost, how ugly it's going to get.
You lost me at Hitler. I mean, it's the devil and Hitler.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. I mean,
there's, you know, there's and people it wasn't that are even, like, I'm sorry, I thought that was so funny.
Yeah,
there's
people always are like, I'm laughing out loud. That,
really?
Yeah. It's, you're laughing out loud at that? It wasn't funny. If it was funny, maybe
the FBI
I would,
part I did laugh at.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's the FBI part's kind of funny, but seriously, come on.
I mean, to each his own, I guess. But yeah,
I have a pretty good sense of humor.
To do that. Leave it to other people to do it. But for the presidential potential nominee to be giving it legs, gross.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't like it.
I just remember when people had like a sense of
decorum.
Yeah, like a little bit. I mean, I like him. I like them, but that was just not cool.
But that's my point. Don't you feel like sometimes it's like you like him and then he does everything he can to make you not like him?
Well, that,
and I don't
that,
know why he does that.
That was just not okay. Like that was not okay.
Bannon's Jesus, thank you. He says 45/mock 2024. I will not be his running man.
And listen, I get pissed off when somebody, you know, evokes the whole Hitler thing on the other side. Like enough with the Hitler crap. All right? Don't just stop.
And no, I'm not.
And Jackie, I'm not clutching my pearls. I don't even have pearls. Like seriously, come say that to my face. All right. God.
Stacey Grimm, thank you. Stacey says Trump would lash out at them if they attacked him. They're afraid of that being career reputation ending. DeSantis has more class than to retaliate in the way that Trump would. DeSantis will fight back. I think when he's attacked directly, and in fact, I saw in the Daily Mail this morning, somebody asked him, what are you going to do? Because Trump is going to keep insulting you. And he was like, whatever, I can take it. I'm a big boy. I think he'll dig back, and then all these people that are the Trump supporters will be like, oh, how dare he attack Trump, and not realizing that all he's doing is defending himself. That's all he's done from the get-go. Trump is the attack dog. DeSantis has never once mentioned him. He just keeps quietly doing his job and being super conservative and putting into place policies that we all believe in. And so the criticism he gets, it just makes me, I'm just like, what is wrong with people? That like, what else does DeSantis need to do? Do you know what I mean? Like he's literally, if you look at his record, he's done everything right. And I'm just like, okay.
Listen, I'm okay. I'm okay with this, a little bit of sparring. I'm okay with guys going back and forth and, you know, beating each other up on a stage. It's fine. Like with the stuff that he did with Ted Cruz, I get it. Like, I understand. It's fine. They're going to go back and forth. There's going to be a little sword fighting between these dudes. I get it. But like the Hitler stuff,
there's a line.
And the devil stuff. Come on. Can we not? Can we just not do that?
Well, and can we just let Megyn Kelly remind everybody what could potentially be on the horizon if it comes to a Trump/Biden matchup?
You know what's crazy is if it winds up being Trump-Biden in the contest, forgive me, but they could both die. Like they're old enough that one might not make it to the actual election day, never mind through a first term or in Biden's case, a second. I mean, this is something we actually have to factor in when you have presidential candidates who are around 80 years old.
Well, maybe that's why everybody, maybe that's why he's making backdoor deals and like everybody's being super nice to him so they can be a VP because they, you know, all the Viveks and the, you know, the Nikki Haley's are all like, maybe they're making all these deals with them so they can be VP. You know, Carrie Lake has been awfully nice to him.
Oh, yeah. Tell.
I mean, she's like BFFs with them because, you know, there's like a whole VP thing in the background that I'm thinking that could happen with her, you know, because she's super loyal to him. I mean, yes. I could, you know, I mean, the people are all jockeying for a position. Politics is gross, man.
And it's just going to get grosser.
It's just going to get
so much grosser. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Michael Steller. Michael says, if they would both stick to the issues and stay positive and get behind the primary winner, we'll make it through. The end goal needs to be to beat Biden.
It does. Yes. Yeah. But right. One thing I will say before I know we have to move on is, you know, I do see a lot of people that are like, it doesn't matter because they're going to cheat anyway. That's what happened in 2022 too. Because again, as a precinct chair, I saw that too. Do not get complacent. Like, I will just remind people, you cannot say, well, it doesn't matter. So my vote doesn't count. It does. It does count. And so does the votes, or so do the votes of 15 of your friends. So drag them too. We have to overwhelm the system in 2024.
You can't just turn over. Like, you can't.
Cannot. You cannot just say, oh, it doesn't matter anyway, because, you know, it's all, you know, Igdre, as you would say.
Where did you go?
Look at me doing pig Latin like you. So, I mean, you can't just be complacent. Like, you have to just, you got to drag everybody, you know, and we have to overwhelm it. We have to, mm-hmm. because 2024 is going to be the most important election of our lives. I know we say that every time, but it's the absolute most important one.
It doesn't get scarier than another second term from Biden. Right. I like, oh my God. Much worse do things have to get,
right,
for people to figure that out? Like, it's just amazing to me that this is even going to be close.
Right.
Yeah. Just crazy. Mm-hmm. All right. Switching gears. I know, because we're running long and I don't want to go too long today because I need to take care of Miss Maisie.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh. I wanted to show you one of the climate weirdos. You guys have seen all the ridiculous people that have ruined like art in museums trying to bring awareness to the climate. There's a group called Declare Emergency. And I think they're the ones that were responsible for putting like black charcoal in the Trevi Fountain in Italy, just within the past few days. I think that's the same group. In any case, these people are super, super destructive. And so I found a video of one of these absolute beta males in this group who is explaining why they're doing what they're doing. You tell me if you think this is going to work. Here it is.
The idea is that we wake people up with a shock, and we do it in a way that engages and invites their emotional centers. We want to activate people's emotions so that they can stop ignoring and turn and look in the other way, because we cannot afford to look the other way anymore.
In the Declare Emergency, the generations come together to speak with one voice. We call for Joe Biden to declare a climate emergency. Yeah.
They want to activate your emotions.
Activate.
Are you activated?
Wonder Twin powers, activate. Everything is an emergency, you know, which means that like nothing is.
Yeah.
It's you know, and yeah, that was that a dude? What was that?
It's questionable.
But you guys, right? Do you guys know what that was? Was that a woman or a man? I can't tell anymore with some of these people. And Scott says he's got to be vegan. Yeah, that guy, if it's a man, somebody feed him some Omaha steaks, because damn, he needs some vitamin B, like stat.
Oh,
something
my God.
Something is going on with that individual. Good Lord.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But this whole idea that they're doing this to activate your emotion and to make it impossible for you to look away and to be aware of the message. No, all it does is just make people mad at them. It doesn't make me like care more about the climate hoax. It just makes me look at them like, stop ruining shit, you moron.
You're destroying things that you don't need to destroy. You know, so what, you think that I'm going to staple more money to the clouds? I'm not going to do that. Right, exactly. I'm already giving enough of my money, my hard-earned money, to stuff that I don't need to be giving it to. I mean, it's the weather. The weather will always change.
Yeah.
Stop it.
I don't know how many more scare tactic dates need to be given and then pass without incident for people to realize that they've been played.
Yeah.
And Alex, like, how many headlines have we shared over the decades that say, oh, acid rain is going to kill us by 2020. Oh, this is going to happen then. None of it happens. So at some point, aren't you going to think, maybe I'm being lied to? Maybe this is all a power grab.
Yeah.
Maybe this is all about control. What is it going to take?
And at this point, I kind of expect it from the younger generation because, you know, they're young and stupid. But that dude looks like he's about 60 years old. Maybe he's 30 and he just needs some meat. I don't know.
He just looks illegal. That's a great point about the younger because the Greta Thunbergs and all of her ridiculous, idiotic followers, they don't have the benefit of having lived through those headlines.
Exactly.
From the 70s, 80s, 90s, and today.
You think they could read, but I know nobody reads anymore. Reading is dumb, right? But this is the thing.
We also have to share this ridiculous ad from North Face. So if you thought that your North Face company was exempt from all of the pride drag-tacularity, you're wrong.
It's me, Patagonia, a real-life homosexual. And today, I'm here with the North Face.
We are here to invite you to come out in nature with us.
Wow, this is nice. We like to call this little tour the Summer of Pride.
I'm just going to fast forward a little bit because this is way too long to deal with.
This person's like, Atlanta, G-A, gay?
What in the world? This year, all these fabulous speakers will be coming from inside this TV to a nature near you. So come outside and celebrate the beautiful LGHGTV community.
What? What?
That's pretty gay.
What?
There you go. North Face.
God. Enough. I just cannot. Like, I saw that. Okay. She said, we're going to put this in the lineup for tomorrow. And I'm like, I saw it the day before yesterday and I thought it was a parody. I thought it was a joke. I honestly did. I was like, okay, that has to be somebody making fun of drag queens.
Mm-mm, that's not a joke.
That's an actual person doing actual things, like being serious about his dragness. That wasn't a parody in any way, shape, or form.
I will say that I saw people commenting on social media that North Face has done a similar ad, a similar campaign for a few years now, that this is not the first time and that now look at how differently people are reacting today than they did over the past few years. But that is because you started involving the kids, okay? When you start bringing kids into it, then you got our burr up. And then we're paying attention to everything. So what might have been harmless and meaningless a couple of years ago now means a lot because you guys are forcing this shit down our throats in a way that impacts kids. That's not
the difference. Yeah, I mean, it's not that it's just, it's being forced onto kids, but it's also being forced everywhere else now too. Like,
you can't get away.
You can't. I mean, since when do I need to see it in a North Face freaking commercial? Like, North Face is supposed to be for outdoor, like their adventure clothing, right? I mean, this is what you're supposed to be marketing towards, a certain kind of person for a certain type of thing and a certain type of activity. Is that really, you're going to, like, do you, that person is supposed to appeal to the North Face customer? How?
The same way Dylan appeals to Bud Light customers.
That individual has never been outside, ever. Ever.
Are you saying that was the green screen?
Totally. That person never goes outside. I mean, it's the same. Just like Dylan Mulvaney never had ever in his whole life has ever had a beer. Ever. And Dylan Mulvaney never went outside. Remember that one video where he's like frolicking around and he never performed an activity ever. Remember when he was like in the leggings, the Nike leggings, and he was prancing around? We were like, have you ever moved your body in any way because you look like an idiot. So this is the thing. They put these individuals in these positions to try to market to people like us who actually do the things and go outside. And we're like, no. I mean, it's like if you're going to sell me athletic leggings, have somebody who is an athlete sell me athletic leggings. You know, show me a woman athlete in women's athletic leggings. Don't show me Dylan Mulvaney or that weirdo. I don't want to see that. And this is what, but they're shoving it down our throat. So it's not just kids anymore. It's all these other things that they're trying to, oh, well, let's put a drag queen, you know, in the kitchen to sell, you know, what is some sort of cooking appliance. It's like, why are you doing this? Right. Why do drag queens have everywhere? It's just so dumb.
No, that was not whack. I mean, it is whack, but it wasn't the official whack. We're going to get to the official whack.
Whack is everywhere.
But first, I promised in the headline thingy that I'm about to show you the best video about victimization that you are ever going to see ever. So I want you to make sure that you share our video with everyone you know, because I was so struck by this yesterday. I thought it was such an amazing what's the word? Like it's an example of what happens when you are taught to feel like a victim. And this is an incredible experiment, told by that Constantine Crispy guy. I forget his actual name. But he's talking about what happens when you convince someone that there's something wrong with them and what that means for how they interact with their world. Okay. So this is amazing.
He did an experiment with a group of women, and they put scars on their faces, and they told these women that they're going into a job interview, and the purpose of the experiment is to find out whether people with facial disfigurements face discrimination. They showed them the scars in the mirror. The women saw themselves with these scars, and as they led them out of the room, they said, we're just going to touch it up a little bit. And as they touched it up, they removed the scarring completely. So the women went into the job interview thinking that they are scarred, but actually being their normal selves. And the result of the experiment is that those women then came back reporting massively increased level of discrimination. Indeed, many of them came back with comments that the interviewer had made that they felt were referencing their facial disfigurement. And this is why I think this ideology of victimhood is so dangerous, because if you preach to people constantly that we're all oppressed, then that primes people to look for that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So interesting. Oh my God. That is fascinating.
Right? I mean, this is why I was like, oh my God, this is the best analogy. This is the best way to prove that when you teach CRT, that when you teach kids that they are being oppressed, that is what they're going to see, even when it's not true.
And it's rampant in our country right now.
Totally
that is
rampant.
That is such a, you know, a microcosm for what's happening in our country right now.
I just thought it was such a powerful example.
Oh my God. So powerful. Yeah.
I freaking love that thing. Mm-hmm. God, I love that.
Yep.
Okay, now it is really time for your
whack. Okay, so first of all, y'all need to go to our website and then go to the top where it says sponsors, and you'll see a happy little logo that says American Business Spotlight. So you can check out TuLink, CFO Plus Services, Taylor Soapworks, All Out of Paper, Avoya Travel. And if you have a business that you want us to spotlight, you should write chicks@radioamerica.com. You should
And
do
there's
that.
More coming. There's more of those are coming.
Because you can totally support conservative businesses. Okay. That's what we do here. That's what we do. Mm-hmm. So my whack today is about Fort Hood. If you live in Texas, you know about Fort Hood. I live 45 minutes away from what used to be Fort Hood.
God, it's not Fort Hood anymore.
No, it's not Fort Hood anymore. Now it's called Fort Cavazos. So the reason it's my whack is because I actually said this to my daughter yesterday, because she'll swim at Fort Hood. Like there's a pool there. It's a long course pool because she's a swimmer. You guys know she's a swimmer. And so this summer we'll have to drive her there to do like long course swimming. And she goes, Mom, it's not called Fort Hood anymore. It's called Fort Cavazos. And I just don't really pay much attention to that kind of stuff. But she was like, no, it was changed. And we talked about this in my history class. They changed it because they're changing a bunch of these forts because of Confederate generals.
Oh, geez.
Right.
Here we go.
Uh-huh. It's because Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, he approved all these recommendations from, I guess, lower people, because it was congressionally mandated to rename. They're renaming Fort Benning, Fort Bragg, Fort Gordon, Fort Hill. They renamed Fort Hood, Fort Pickett, Fort Polk, and Fort Rucker. They're renaming all of these forts, okay, because I guess the people that they were named after were racist.
Oh my God.
The thing that pisses me off is they estimated that it would cost over $63 million to implement these name changes. That's what I'm concerned about.
Oh my God.
Like, we have the freaking money to do this, right?
$63 million?
That's what they estimated. That was the
estimate. So it's going to be 100 easily.
Oh, you know, it's way more than that. You know, it's going to be, because you know, whenever the military, the federal government says it's going to cost this, it costs like triple what that is. So it's not only that, but I read an article yesterday about the businesses that are around, that surround Fort Hood, right? Okay. So there are streets, you guys, that are named like Fort Hood Drive, Fort Hood Street in Killeen, where Fort Hood is. They have to change the names of the streets in Killeen.
Oh my God.
And so there are businesses in Killeen, Texas, that are like that surround that, like there was a black woman owned business that was saying, you know what, I had already ordered my business cards for my new business. I'd already ordered all this stuff. I had to redo everything for my business because of the name of the street that was going to be changing. And so that costs local businesses money. So not only is it costing us money as taxpayers, but local businesses are being affected by this too. So imagine the money it's costing them. So it's like a ripple effect. And these people have no idea. So the money that's being spent on this, like, our federal government is useless. Nobody
cares. $63 million, how many border patrol agents that could hire. Right.
Exactly. Or just the fact that we're so much in debt, we don't have the money for this. And nobody cares. I got to tell you, it's called Fort Hood. Nobody gives half a crap. Okay. Nobody's affected by that. It's not like people are like, oh my God, he was a Confederate general. And you know, like, people are affected by this. Seriously, just stop. Okay. We can't afford this. It's ridiculous. But now it's called Fort Cavazos.
What are we doing?
This is what we're doing. This is what we're spending money on, you guys. This is what we're spending money on that we don't have.
I can't. I cannot.
And that's what it's whack. Completely whack.
That is super whack.
Mm-hmm.
It's Memorial Day. Right. It's Memorial Day. Yeah, we're not going to be doing a show on Memorial Day.
Yeah, we won't. We're going to have to put an Ashley Judd picture out.
Yes, I will do that.
A very flattering Ashley Judd picture will remind
super
everybody.
Flattering.
But yes, on
I would
Memorial
never
Day,
choose something unflattering. What are you talking about?
I know. She always takes great pictures, but we'll put a picture up to remind everybody. We will not be doing a show
that
on
is
Memorial
correct.
Day. I know Kenny's saying, damn it. We just need to sleep. I got to have a day to sleep in, like one day. I mean, past 4:30. I just have to have one day. I know. Well, it's Memorial Day. So MJ, we won't be doing a show. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I need a long weekend to just sleep.
Just one day to sleep. Just one day. And my baby girl's going to camp. She's going to church camp this weekend. I got to take her. And so it's going to be a crazy weekend. And then Monday I'm going to sleep.
And then don't forget June 5th. We are changing the time of our show.
15 minutes.
7:30 Eastern.
6:30 Central. I get to sleep in 15 minutes, 15 you guys.
15 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it may help this a little. It may help just a little bit. We'll see. We'll see what 15 minutes can do.
Anyway, mm-hmm. We'll remind you again. But like, I just wanted to put that out there since we were talking about it.
Right. She Who Laughs is saying yay. So that's good. Yeah. 15 minutes. I hope that people really like that. I hope 15 minutes. We'll see. I
and
know.
It won't just completely ruin things.
Come on. Get up. Come here. Come on. Get up.
Oh,
no, he's getting up. Come on. Yeah. Come on.
It's so close.
Oh God. He just will not get up. You guys. He is so lazy.
So lazy.
Oh, he's so lazy, you guys.
Maybe he's sympathizing with like Maisie, and he's just like, he's trying to set a good example for resting.
And yes, you're right, Jim. We need to think about what Memorial Day means. You're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely
That's exactly right.
Right. You guys have a wonderful, restful, fantastic, just awesome Memorial weekend with your families and friends. And we will talk to you on Tuesday.
Bye,
everybody.